Good evening. This is K2BAR, the amateur radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. We have a TechNet tonight, a special edition of a TechNet for Thanksgiving on this beautiful day in November. And at this time, before we start, I'd like to check to make sure we don't have any emergency or priority traffic. Please call K2BAR.
W2AKR repeater.
Okay, nothing heard. Alrighty, good evening. This is Gordon, W2-Tango-Tango-Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net for Thanksgiving Day 2007. This is a special session of the net. We are looking for stories of technology and experience that for which we're thankful. Many, many wonderful things have happened to us because of our amateur radio hobby. Some of them are personal. Some of them are technical. Some of them are just wonderful, other wonderful adventures that we might want to talk about. So whatever they may be, let's think about why we're happy to be amateur radio operators, why we're thankful to be amateur radio operators. The normal procedure for the net will still be followed, and if you have a technical question for that, please feel free to jump in with that topic as well. The process is very simple. No subject is verboten because we have a technical hobby. There are dozens upon dozens of technical subjects, and some of them are operational, which may not seem to be technical, but in point of fact, they are. So any aspect of amateur radio is up for grabs in this, quote, tech net that we run every week. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association does not require membership to check into the net. Any amateur who's licensed for the 2-meter band may feel free to participate. We welcome you. The process is very simple. You come in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. If you have a Thanksgiving Day comment, say that you have a Thanksgiving Day comment. We'd like to know that in particular. On that note, we will start. I'm looking for stations with the call signs beginning with Alpha. Please call K2BAR. Over. Okie doke, stations beginning with Whiskey. Call signs beginning with Whiskey, please come now with your call sign, your name, a question, or with whether or not you have a question or a comment or a Thanksgiving Day comment.
W2VVV. Thanksgiving Day comments and technical comments and question.
Wow. And a question. Very good, Tim. Good evening. W2, Victor, Victor, Victor. Got you. There was another Whiskey station who checked in with him. You lost in the capture effect. Could you try again, please, sir? This is K2BAR.
Yeah, good. Whiskey Echo 2 Romeo. The Thanksgiving comment.
Excellent, Charlie. Excellent. Got you covered with the Thanksgiving comment. Any other Whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Any stations beginning with November? November stations, please call K2BAR.
N200J, Ori.
Hi, Ori. Nice to see you again, or hear you again. That's great. That you're in. Do you have a question, comment, or a Thanksgiving Day comment you'd like to pass along?
No, I just have a question and a comment, that's all.
A question and a comment. Okay, no problem. We will make note of that. Very good. Any other stations with November, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, any stations beginning with Kilo, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a Thanksgiving comment, a regular comment, or a question for the net. Please call K2BAR.
K2AMI. The name is Antonio. No comment.
Antonio. Buenasera.
Lasagna to you. Go ahead.
Okay, Tony, very good. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. All right. Any other stations for a late check-in, please call K2BAR at this time.
This is KC2SAV, Al.
Al, good evening to you. Do you have a question, a comment, or a Thanksgiving comment for the net?
Yes, sir, I do. I have a question.
Note that you have a question. Welcome to the net. Any other stations, any station with any call, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, we have W2 Victor Victor Victor, Whiskey Echo 2 Romeo, N2 OOJ, K2AMI, KC2 SAV. We have lots of questions, several comments, and at least one Thanksgiving comment, so I'm going to defer to the Thanksgiving comment first. Tim, if you don't mind kind of letting me rattle this up a little bit. So, Tim, I'd like to know your Thanksgiving comment, if you would, for this holiday net. This is K2BAR.
All right, sure. Well, I guess I'll start with that, and then we can go back to the technical stuff. Well, I mean, I've always been thankful for amateur radio. I mean, back when I was a young kid, I got started in the hobby, and it kind of fostered my pursuit of college and my career afterwards. And met a lot of great people and learned a lot through amateur radio. And even in terms of financing my education, amateur radio was helpful there. Two specific incidents I'm thankful for. One was when in high school I built a robot that was linked through a ham radio link on 2 meters through remote control. That ended up winning first place in the North Jersey Science Fair. Consequently, from that, I think it really helped my chances in interviewing for a scholarship that was at also that weekend. I couldn't save the entire science fair, but ended up winning the scholarship, and I think they were very impressed by that robot. And then also later on, in my sophomore year of college, or maybe going to my junior year of college, I was a recipient of one of the ARRL the scholarships, the Gold Award scholarships. So that I'm also appreciative for. So I don't know if, hopefully that's along the lines of what we're trying to talk about here. Maybe somebody else has something similar. This is W2BBB.
That's excellent. That's excellent. That's just splendid beyond belief. Alrighty. I think that you've captured the objective. Very nice. Ori, did you have a Thanksgiving comment, or did you have a regular comment? I wasn't sure.
Good evening.
Oh, no, I just had a comment, but I was thankful I was able to offer emergency assistance during Hurricane Floyd at the Baldwick Red Cross Center. I was the only source of communication up there for about 4 or 5 hours until the borough administrator showed up around 9 o'clock, and I got there around 5 or 4:30 and 5, and I was the liaison with Jerry at the Red Cross Center and the police and everybody else. I was just glad I was able to help out, and that's because of amateur radio. If it wasn't because of amateur radio, I wouldn't have been able to give any assistance, and that's my comment.
That's super. That's super. Charlie, WE2R, your comment.
Yeah, hi, boys. This is everybody else. Kind of have things in the long lines of what Tim had to say. I've been a ham for damn near 50 years when I was first licensed. And although originally I was going to pursue a technical career, I did not. But whatever I learned from ham radio was a tremendous value. Not being afraid to get my hands dirty, to attempt to fix things, mostly fail, but at least I tried. And to have almost half a century worth of friendships, which is amazing. And some of them I still have today. So it's been a wonderful back to you for WE2R.
That's super. That is super. Alrighty. Tony, did you want to add something along this line?
I'm still thinking. I have so many blessings because of ham radio that I don't know which one to mention. Pass me up this time.
I had a similar problem. I started writing a list of call signs. It became absurd, but I'll probably touch on it in a little bit myself. All right, very good. Al, did you want to say something about Thanksgiving as we go through this portion of the net? This is K2BAR.
WA2CAI.
I'm sorry, Al, you were very noisy. Try it again.
That happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and hopefully that everyone spends it with their family.
Yep, okay, very good. Very good. Alrighty, Tom, W2CAI, K2BAR, your turn.
Was it being passed? I wasn't sure whether I was being heard or not. Good evening, gentlemen. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Just coming back from a nice family gathering down in South Jersey. Had a great time with my children. And they invited my ex-wife along, so it was very nice. No hostilities, no runs, no hits, no errors. Anyway, I have a question to put to the group. Does anyone know if this Sunday... Or, I'm sorry, this Friday is when Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club is having their auction.
Yes. Tony, you want to elaborate?
Tom, K2AMI here. Yes, it's this Friday night, 5 o'clock, at the Senior Center, not at the Amateur Radio Club, but at the Senior Center off of 11th Street and Fairlawn Avenue, that's what it is. Fairlawn Avenue, go to 11th Street, make a right turn, go in about two blocks, when you'll see the Fairlawn Senior Center. 5 o'clock, you can start to bring your stuff in. By 6 o'clock, they want as many buyers as possible, and they'll try to start the auction shortly after 6 o'clock. So this Friday, by all means, get there, Tom.
Thank you very much, Tony. I will try to be there. And everyone, I will be listening. And, you know, I just can't think of the rewards I've had from amateur radio over the years. It is... Hold on, I just stole the engine.
Gardner Road.
What about Gardner Road?
It's at the intersection of 11th Street, 11th Street and Gardner Road in Pullman.
Alrighty. Well, all sorts of interesting things have been related to amateur radio for me. But before I start in, I'm wondering, is there anybody else who has comments? Want to check into the net Thanksgiving sentiments and why they're thankful to be a radio amateur.
If I might.
Please.
WHCAI. If anyone doesn't know me, my name's Tom. I've been licensed since my 14th year. I'm 54, 55 now. And amateur radio has been my college. I've learned enough through amateur radio to take on many college-level jobs over the years without having gone to college at all, until recently, that is. Once I figured out what I had to learn, I learned it at college, but late in life. And I didn't have to take any basket-weaving courses or phys ed courses or anything of the sort. So, no, amateur radio's been very good to me over the years. I've always tried to return the courtesy to young EMs, if possible, anyone in them, for that matter. I taught communications at the Air Force Auxiliary, and this is also Control. And, I have a lot of amateur radio. Besides the friends I've made over the years and the many mentors I've been through, over the years I've been adopted by many different hams and mentored by many different hams. I'll be grateful to them till I die. And that's it. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. WHSCAI Mobile.
Okay. Well, I have a laundry list of calls and stuff like that that I've put together, but I hesitate to use it until others have spoken. So that sounds great. You know, that, I have a similar sentiment too. I think we learn a lot about aspects of not only technology but perhaps life through amateur radio that others who aren't in a hobby that requires a high level of social interaction don't receive. Most people have hobbies, I'm sure they have social groups and things like that, but ours is fundamentally a communicating hobby. So therefore, the means and the end are often intertwined. And that's very kind of interesting. It's interesting compared to what other folks have in their hobbies. It's not quite like quilting or, working on, a custom car. That's good, and they have their clubs, but it's not quite the same. I'm wondering if there are any other stations would like to express their sentiments for Thanksgiving, why they're thankful to be a radio amateur.
I guess K2AMI has narrowed down some comments. Go ahead. Can I go ahead?
Please.
I was licensed in 1978, and I've been around for a while. But I think the nicest thing that happened to me in ham radio was I met my wife and married the widow of my ham radio friend. So that was something nobody else can, on this frequency, can say they can compare to. So Mary was a widow of one of my ham radio friends. I met her through ham radio. That's about it.
Tony, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. I like that. Are there any other stations lurking out there who haven't checked in and would like to express their sentiments? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, I'm going to go through my laundry list pretty quickly, and it's by no means a comprehensive list, but it kind of spans some time, so if you rubbed elbows with people, at the same time as some of the call signs I'm mentioning, please, no offense intended, please. So I just won't get them all. But here we go. All right. Little boy sitting there listening to the radio in the night, and out of the radio would come a voice around 10, 11 o'clock at night, actually 10 or 11, 15. Would be that of K2ORS, Gene Shepherd. I learned about what amateur radio was and many other interesting things of life through him. And then I listened to a guy named Barry Farber, who was not a ham, but, spoke of various interesting places around the world with intrigue and such, and he would occasionally have a broadcast about clandestine radio stations and espionage and things like that, and that kind of got my attention. So we went on to, 10-year-old boy has a high school kid move in down the street, about two houses down, puts up a 60-foot Rhone 25 tower with a tri-band quad, a B&W amplifier, and an SB line Keith kit, a full SB line. Wow, pretty cool. Yeah, that was John Silla, WA2FYT. Fast forward a few years through miscellaneous amateur radio contacts, finally got my license in high school. WB2CRD, Richie Krajewski was the radio club president at Xavier High School when I was a freshman, and he encouraged me to be more active, and I ended up being the president of the club for 3 years of my four and vice president for my freshman year, and built the club out to be quite a big club, and we got, maybe five or six of us licensed through high school, which was pretty cool, although mentoring was an issue. WB2SGT, Pete, and let's see, who else now? Oh, drawing a blank now, but anyway, FGT and oh, K2ABA, who's now N2NY, I think, Larry, they got me interested in the Hall of Science Radio Club and the New York Radio Club. First time I went to the New York Radio Club, I wore a jacket and tie because that's what members of the New York Radio Club used to do. And let's see, then I moved to New Jersey in the middle of my senior year of high school, and I was looking through QST and noticed that in the section news column that there was this crazy club called the Night Raiders VHF Club, and it was something I was interested in. I contacted through some league information some people involved in the club, and lo and behold, I found out I lived across the street from one member, that was WA2CRF, Jack Mandelberger, and around the corner from WB2NTP, Frank Passage, who is still both on the air, and I talked to Jack at least a couple times a month on 06, 224-06, so that's pretty cool. Thankful for that. They kind of tolerated and mentored an obnoxious high school student. Sound familiar, Tim?
Gordon, WA2CAI. Our paths are very parallel. I was introduced to AM radio by Gene, and it was 10:15 to 11 every night. And when it was overseas, my father used to record them and send them to me. Boy, I wish I had kept those tapes. But a lot of other people enjoyed them after I listened to them. And Barry Farber, the same thing. I'd listen to him if I had the energy. Now I find myself, at the age of 55, unable to sleep at night anymore.
You long for that kind of radio talk. Somehow coast to coast doesn't quite cut it. Anyway, you're thinking of Barry Gray, by the way, at midnight. Barry Farber was on before Shepard. Along with Earl Dad's Been Out of Paradise, and I'm trying to think what the other guy was. But anyway, very, very cool evening lineup. Anyway, I was also Jack K2KDQ, who was the driving force behind the Night Raiders. That was my first exposure to VHF operators, and Frank Passage took me into his apartment. Actually, he lived across the street from me. Jack lived around the corner, and showed me advanced receiver research, receive converters. And he burned into my soul right there in his apartment the importance of having sensitive, high-quality receiver front ends. He says, you'll get the power you need to talk to the people. If you can't hear them, you can't work them. And that's been burned into my soul by Frank Passage from forever, so I'm thankful for his lesson there to, you know, some pimply high school student. In debt to Ed Solov, God rest his soul, K2SE, for his patience with another young man in Aries operations and traffic handling when he was involved in that. To W2VU for his good-natured, whimsical way of looking at things, and always challenging in good faith, what you might want to do. And giving me some great opportunities as W2ML, W4RI, WB4JFI, Hank Magnuski, KH6M of Packet Radio fame, KA9Q of IP fame for all those wonderful debates and over Packet Radio and protocols. To this day, I'm in debt to him. He probably, because of the Packet Radio tweaking me, ultimately ended up provided me with an opportunity to actually work at the labs. 87I, Paul Newland, same thing. They were great references when somebody out of the blue saw an amateur radio publication with my call sign and wanted to know about it, Bell Labs. And that's given me a wonderful career for 20-plus years, a wonderful way to feed my family, and a wonderful way to want to get up in the morning and do more work because it's just fun. KB7UV and KB2ICI for their tireless work along with W2VY in RATS, N2IRZ also doing packet radio stuff, also KD68 as well, and there were others as well, but that's a good group out of the RATS group. Then there's one of my dearest friends in the whole world, WB2WNX, and his friend and mine, WB2ELF. If it wasn't for Winks, as we used to call him, I wouldn't have met my wife, and that's really important. Nancy has been the rock and soul of my life for more than half my life now. We're going to be married 25 years in June, and we started dating 2 years before that, two years and a week before we got married. So that's pretty cool, too. And of course, N2FWI, my bride. My sons, all of them, are important, and I wouldn't have them without her, and the risk she has taken to have children, and that's pretty cool as well. And let's see, of course, my middle son is KC2NZC. John has occasionally been seen on the air and likes to do bike tours. My son James has not gotten his license, but he used to like to do bike tours and still does. In fact, he keeps asking me, can we go do them? So that's pretty cool. And of course, my little one has been already trying to take his license exam a couple of times, and he'll get there eventually too, Mr. Jeremy. Another one of my ushers was WB2MJG at our wedding. Pete lives up in New England, up in New Hampshire, and a real good guy as well. W2VY, mentioned him before. I'm the godfather of his son, and a really nice fellow as well, and good coder and design architect for networking. K2ZO and WB2WPQ and K2AMI, NO2T and NW2B. Why those calls? And I'm probably leaving somebody out. W2MR. They used to talk late in the night on 7-9. Back when Jim was still working and Rich was working elsewhere. But we would chatter late into the night on 7-9. It was always intriguing and a lot of fun. And Jerry has a particular soft spot in my heart because he's the one who made me believe I could upgrade beyond technician. And here I am now an extra. Never did pass a 20-word a minute code test, but often would do 20, 25 words a minute for long periods of time during contests and then go fail the test the next day. But anyway, we got there. And so a ton of things from Jerry and Dory as well for encouraging me to get on the air and work those CW stations during field day for all those times. Larry Wolfgang, WR1B, for making me believe I could pass the extra with no study. And I did it at the National Jamboree in 2001. There are many others. All of you guys, W2BVV, WE2R, N2OOJ, WA2CAI, in particular. You guys have all been, wonderful friends over the years on the air and other places as well. And it's been pretty cool. So, I'm very fortunate, very blessed. I've learned many things through amateur radio. So, end of monologue. Sorry about the length of that, but that's kind of a synopsis of things. And I have a blessed life because of all the wonderful people that I've met over the years and the things that they've imparted to me, and hopefully I've been able to help them and others. So any other comments about Thanksgiving before we move on to technical subjects? This is K2BAR. November 2, ICO. We got a couple here. Let's see. I think I hear an ICO. I don't know. I think at the beginning of your call, whether or not, or your name, and and whether or not you have a question, comment, or a Thanksgiving comment you'd like to make. I also heard AWX, I think, KC2AWX, I think that might have been Harvey. I didn't hear the call sign, I just heard the voice. So let's try ICO first. Could we have the rest of your call and your name, please?
So this is November 2, India, Charlie Lima. The handle is Kevin. And I believe I had a little contact with Tom, WJ2CAI, yesterday. And I came in a little bit late into the net because I was retrieving a box of tubes that I was handed, say, vacuum tubes. And I also got another little surprise in the box.
Okay, what was the surprise in the box, Kevin? Good evening. N2ICL, K2BAR.
W2AKR. AKR repeater.
And she had heard that I've been interested in radio and such, and so she saved me this box of tubes. And then there were these little rolls of wire tape, she said, and I just realized that they're recording wire tapes, not tapes, but recording wire. And I just recall that her husband was a recording engineer, but he has Parkinson's now. But there's seven of them, and they're all labeled.
Well, make sure you handle those with great care. Wire recordings are known to be fragile, but more importantly, they're incredibly precious as we move into this century. Over.
Yes, and I'm sort of instantly dumbfounded because I just took them in from the cold, and I do have a whole mess of recording heads, and I was just wondering myself. I noticed they're marked that their recording time is 30 minutes, and they're on these little steel spools. If I dare even consider a means of playing them back into ICL.
Into ICLW2, pardon me, KTBAR. I would find someone who's a curator of an electronics and radio museum. There's one in Connecticut that, let's see, who was it? Was it W2JEK visited recently? I think it might have been. You might want to check with Don, W2JEK. I thought he visited a museum in Connecticut. Not just an amateur radio exhibit, but a history of electronics type museum.
So that sounds like wise advice, and I think I'll just keep them in a safe place on the side. The funny thing is the woman who handed me the box, she's English, and she referred to them as valves.
As is the custom today. All right, very good, Kevin. Hang on one second. Let's see who else is in here. KC2AWX, K2BAR, are you in here?
Yes, I am. This is KC2AWX. Good evening, gentlemen, and you too, Tom. And let me see. Thanksgiving. Yes. It's just been a short time that I've been a ham, so I don't have a lot of war stories to tell you about that. But I'll have to say, for about 40 years, I made a living as being an electronic technician at several different companies, and at a company called Gulf Aerospace that did equipment for the Manned Space Center in Houston, Texas. I helped design the radiation counters that looked on the space that went up on Mercury and Apollo. And I worked at companies like TI, Schlumberger, and Halliburton. And I retired at an electronics company that manufactured military radios. And that was exciting to see the different type of techniques that each radio can have. Especially now, the Army has repeaters on tanks that go into the battle first. And then they have a 2-meter mobile radio for communications and backpacks, and I did that for about 25 years. It was exciting and kept me in the means and raised my family. So I have electronics and amateur radio is part of my background. KC2AWX, thank you for listening to my Lou Steele.
Good evening.
Very fine. Yep. I left off. off somebody who is local who used to put up with me like you couldn't believe, and that was NN2T, was back in the days when he was WA2JFW. God. Oh, the patience he had. Anyway. Ah, dear me. Anyway, let's see. Are there any other stations wishing to check into the net before we get to technical questions? Please call K2BAR. Okay, at this point we have a nice group. All right, we have technical questions up the yazoo. Let's start with Tim. You have a technical comment and a technical question. So, Tim, fire away with your question. This is K2BAR.
Oh, very good. Well, the comment was Tom was able to make it to a kid night and finish about 85-90% of the kit at the kid night. There was a iambic here, CW message recorder here, SWR meter, watt meter, and frequency counter, and an S meter, all built into one as an enhancement for the Sierra Wilderness Radio that I built the QRP rig some time ago. Just finished mounting everything in Wednesday night, and got most of it all done, and I just probably this weekend I just have to retune the circuit boards, the transmit and receive sides. Because you're adding a lot of extra capacitance to the circuits, everything has to be retuned, so I'll do that and then calibrate the display. So that was nice to finally get to a kit night. But my question is, I don't know if anybody has or has access to a network analyzer. I have a handful of rubber duck antennas that I've accumulated over the years, and none of them have any identifying marks on them as to what frequencies they are. And I would like to be able to do a frequency sweep of them and see what frequencies they're resonant at so that I have some idea, because right now it's just blind. I know like an antenna analyzer will give you the impedance and I guess maybe the resonant frequency as well, but a network analyzer would give you the entire frequency sweep. Back in that W2VVV.
Now that's a good question. We actually have been discussing rubber ducks lately. And the inherent characteristics of a rubber duck may not be what you're looking for, or maybe what you're looking for. The problem is this, Tim. Many manufacturers will optimize a specific antenna's characteristics with a output network that most efficiently deals with that antenna built into the radio. So an antenna might be high or low in frequency, because it's depending on a particular network inside the radio itself. This has led to things like when someone takes a radio from brand X radio, or antenna from brand X radio, puts it on brand B, it doesn't work as well. Similarly, if they take a generic antenna, sometimes it doesn't work as well. Sometimes it's better. Depends on what it is. So keep that in mind. Having said that, what you may want to do is build a test stand where the ground plane is significantly larger, you know, than anything that you're worried about testing. Let's say if the 2 meter band is as low as you expect to go, you might want to make like a 4 foot rectangular or square aluminum sheet, put a connector in the middle of it, and use that as your test bed. To sweep it is pretty straightforward. You can sweep it, oddly enough, with the club's antenna analyzer. We have one of those was it MFJ antenna analyzers, the 434s that I can't remember now. Anyway, we have one, and if we don't have one, NS2K has one, and I have one, maybe others do as well.
Especially because they're dealing with handheld radios and a manufacturable design around the fact that the shape of the radio and the fact that somebody will be hanging, holding onto it and adding capacitance to it I was just curious. I think I know a frequency sweep isn't ideal, but I think if I added some type of counterpoise to the ground and trying to simulate, somebody holding it and the structure of the HT, it would at least give me some idea as to what these antennas are. I mean, right now it's just a shot in the dark. I have no idea what a lot of them are. Some of them I'm sure are from business band radios, and some of them from ham radios. So it'd be nice to have a rough idea, and then I could try and optimize it for whatever my particular installation is.
Yeah, well, in addition to the tuner that the analyzer that the club has and the one Jim and I have, Jim has another one that's a better one that will actually give you a plot. It comes with software and does all that dance for you. I mean, completely characterize the antenna. What I would do, though, is I would go and try to characterize the antenna from inherent quality basis. In other words, I would put it on a standardized ground plane, a very large standardized ground plane, and go from there. I think that's probably your best starting point. Otherwise, you drive yourself crazy. You can always tweak an output network to match something goofy for a particular HT or whatever, but I think that in general, if you have an antenna that's close to optimum for the frequency range you're looking for, that's probably a good starting point, even if the radio's goofy with other things going on.
Okay, very good. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll set up a little test bench. And, yeah, if I get something that could give me a plot. We used to have a vector network analyzer that I could have get access to at work. But right now, it'd kind of be tough for me to do that. They've moved it to a different site. So I don't know if I'd have access to it, but just something I've been pondering, and just I saw the rubber duckies again today, so I'll chat with you more about it later, and maybe talk to them and see if they can get access to one of their analyzers at some point. Back in at W2VVV.
Okay, well, if you're looking for something semi-automated that's affordable and accessible, there was a device, as I said, I believe he built it as a kit that NS2K has. But you certainly can use one of the normal antenna analyzers that are in abundance. As I said, Jim has one of those. I have one. The club has one. I'm sure others do as well. All good choices. Alrighty. Moving along. I believe we have another question from N200J. Uri?
Yeah, just a brief comment, Jordan. I know I really enjoyed your project that you demonstrated at Barra one night. I was wondering if you could recall the brand name of the waterproof case that you used, because I'd kind of like to do the same thing for a portable setup that I have up in the Catskills. Over to you.
Yep, I do. In fact, I didn't then, but I do now. It's MTM Molded Products Company. Mike Tango Mike, Molded Products Company, but the website is different than what you might think. Hold on, I gotta read the lid here. Give me a second. Okay, www.miketangomikecase, C-A-S-E, Charlie Alpha Sierra Echo, -guard, G-A-R-D, .com, mtmcase-guard.com.
Okay, I've heard of MTM products, so I'm going to go look into it, and I think your project is very well presented and very useful, too, for somebody who's on the go who just wants to have a little portable station. What I intend to do is have a permanent antenna and have a source of electricity, so all I'll do is plug in the power supply and plug in the antenna, and I'll be ready to go. So I appreciate the information, and I'll turn it back to you. This is N200J.
Okay, let me give you a couple of tips in case you don't remember. Number one, don't drill anything real low to the water line. Number two, if you're going to use a switching power supply anyway, inside the orange box, the same orange box as the radio equipment, then be advised that with the antenna in the very near field, I mean like you know, the power cable is running right past the antenna. You will blow up a switching power supply. The RF will do bad things to a switching power supply, to its crowbar circuit, by the way. So I mean, it's not insurmountable, it's just a pain in the ass, because you're going to break stuff. So I have bought two cases. I bought the very largest one they have, and I also bought another one that's not there's one that's the same basic footprint, but it's just shallower, it's not as deep as the box you saw, and that might be something you might consider. But I found one that's also shallow, that more looks like a steroidal ammo box. And what's nice about it is, the lid has, in each case, whether it's the big case or the little case or the medium-sized case, all have compartments in the top, which is very useful. I mean, they're not perfectly watertight. I mean, don't get me wrong. But they'll take a good beating, and as long as you take reasonable care, you can transport them back and forth and expect your gear not to be flooded. One other thing I would consider, get yourself some dry packs that suck up moisture. They make small ones and big ones. In fact, if you know stores that handle products that need to be kept reasonably moisture free, dropping something here, sorry about that, you might want to get throwaway silica packs from them. Those are the two hints I would make about the antenna and also the silica packs. Actually, the power supply and silica packs. Anything else, sorry?
Saying is put the power supply in the smaller case and the radio in the larger case, so they're reasonably well separated. Is that it?
Roger, old man. QSL.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm going to get started on that, and I really appreciate the information, and I'll turn it back to you. This is M2OOJ.
Alrighty. Let us know how it works and bring in your project next time. I'm always looking for new ways to mount equipment in mine. I mean, I did drill through my plastic cases, but I did it with a metal frame. If you can do a cold weld of aluminum inside, that would also improve things pretty well. I mean, they make some, should we say, cool temperature welding stuff that, we've all seen the guy at the Hamfest welding aluminum cans together, but for bulky materials, it's a little harder. But if you know somebody who can, TIG weld aluminum, that would be a big improvement on my design, because in a mobile environment, the metal-on-metal activity does sometimes rattle, and that generates a little static. So that's something to think about as well. But anyway. All right, anybody else want to make comments about this? This is KGBAR.
KC2AWS.
Go ahead, Harvard.
All right. My question is, we have a policy say the type that Alanco has small, as I can see. Now my question is, how do you get power to that power supply? I would think if you would put, say, in the top or on the side, one of these waterproof Amphenol plugs like they have in military radio. That way you just make a cable going from the plug to your power supply, and it would be safe. This is a thing I've been wondering about for a while. KC2AWS.
Well, I've kind of gotten, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let me drop it here 1 second. Okay, to make sure I got a beep. I've gotten a little gun shy after my, let's fry an Alinco power supply exercise. What I've decided to do is, since the radio equipment requires that you take the covers off in order to actually operate it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one chassis, the orange box chassis which you saw with the radio equipment in it. Another one with a 38 ampere hour seal lead acid battery, although I'd love in the future to replace it with a big honking lithium ion pack, because big honking lithium ion packs don't weigh anything. They just cost a lot of money. But that's my long-term goal, is to replace the sealant acid with a lithium ion. And then I have another orange box, which I bought, which is the same size as the one you guys saw, and that's going to have in it a computer, an Alinco power supply, and miscellaneous other accessories for the station in that box. So the RF deck, if you will be the box you saw. Miscellaneous accessories and power and computer type stuff will go into the second box. And then, of course, the battery box is the little one I described before. As far as connectorization, you take the covers off when you get there, when you deploy. So, you know, there's no need for connectorization through the bulkhead. I don't need a weatherproof seal environment in order to operate. I'm not operating radios in a sealed box. But it's a good point. If that's your requirement, you could certainly adapt to that as well. if anyone here doesn't have an AWRL email address, pipe up with your email address, and I'll include you in the notes from this net session, and you'll get the URLs in the email. Okay. All right. Anybody else have questions or comments about this topic of waterproof cases and portable operation? Wow. Okay. Very good. So planomolding.com and mtmcase-gardguard.com, and I'll look up GSI Outdoors website as well. They make good products for this. Alrighty, KC2SAV, Al, you've been extremely patient with your question. Do you have anything you'd like to ask KC2SAV, K2BAR?
Yes, I do. I don't think it's real technical like some of these guys been talking. I mean, I've only been involved with this for three months. But
noise. I got your disclaimer about your experience, but not your question, other than the word vehicle.
Can you listen in on the HT?
Yeah, if there's not digital, if it's not digital and they're in the band, the radio covers, sure, why not? You could listen to the police generally.
That's the only question.
Okay, the law in New Jersey is pretty clear. You can listen anywhere you want. Actually, first of all, the federal law. The federal law about monitoring, shall we say, non-broadcast, non-amateur services, is that you can listen all you like. You may not divulge or use for personal gain any information that you garner from that situation. The New Jersey state law says you're more than welcome to monitor even in your automobile. However, if you commit a crime and you have a scanner or receiver that's capable of reception of public safety officials in your vehicle, you can be additionally charged with a crime of something of the order of, you know, using radio receiver for the malicious interception of public safety communications or something like that. I forget what the actual statute says, but so many words. As long as you're not doing anything bad, you're good to go. Do something bad, you're hosed twice.
Copy that, Gordon. No, so it's mainly just the road conditions, traffic incidents, you know, fire and ambulance, listening in on that.
Yeah, it's no problem. You're more than welcome to do that.
Back to you, KC2S.
Okay, very good. Alrighty, let's see. I'm looking for GSI Outdoor. Okay, that's easy. GSI Outdoors website is GSI Outdoors. dear me. Golf Sierra India, OUT, Oscar Uniform Tango, Delta Oscar Romeo Sierra, Outdoors, GSIOutdoors.com. And kind of wander through their site. I'm sure you'll find stuff that piques your interest in that, on that site. Alrighty, what else? And they have really cool stuff. They have, like, if you go buy a material and made of Lexan resin, and you click on storage, let's see. Yep, that's what you want. You want the Lexan storage boxes. They're awesome, and they come in colors. I picked a reddish, like a ruby red color, but that's the best I could do. I think they have a greenish tint one, too. Those are very nice things, and my ProSet Plus fits in it, along with X up below, say an ICOM hand mic and maybe even a foot switch and all sorts of goodies. So there's plenty of room in the GFX. The other box is a little tighter. The Plano can only accommodate like a traveler headset or a regular Pro Set, because it's just not big enough for a Pro Set Plus. The ear cups on the Pro Set Plus are just too bloody big. But it's a wonderful way to transport your stuff in a way it won't get crushed. Alrighty, any other comments or questions for the net, Mr. Al?
Good evening.
W2AKR, repeater.
W2VVV.
Okay, W2VVV, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Gordon, just as an FYI, you're exactly right with the, what's quote-unquote called the New Jersey scanner wall. But if anyone's ever interested in looking for it, it's in Title 2C of the New Jersey State Criminal Code, 2C, Section 33, Article 22. Possession of an emergency communications receiver. It's a very short statute, and it reads, any person who, while in the course of committing or attempting to commit a crime, including the immediate flight therefrom, possesses or controls a radio capable of receiving any message or transmission made on or over any police, fire, or emergency medical communication system shall be guilty of a crime in the fourth degree. So it would be a misdemeanor if you're using in the commission of a crime, but you're free to monitor in the state of New Jersey.
Alrighty. Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions, comments, or confusions on this subject, please call K2BAR. All right. Are there any other questions for the net? Please call K2BAR. Okay. Just to clarify, I'm just going to go through and make a quick check of the folks who checked in. Just answer a yes or no, and if it's a no, give me your email address. The yes would be I have an AWRL email address, and no, give me your email address. W2 Victor 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 K2BAR.
Yes.
Okay, W2R.
Probably, but I never used it. So here goes. Chad W2R. Charlie Hotel Alpha. Echo 2 Romeo at AOM. Chad W2R.
Got it, Charlie. N2 OOJ?
Yes, but you can also use my other address, ORRIES at MSN.com or N2OOJ at ARRL.net.
Okay, so ORRIES, as it were?
Yeah, ORRIES at MSN.com.
Got it. Okay, very good. No problem. And where you spell Ori, O-O-R-Y, right? Or no, I-E.
No, I spell it O-R-R-I-E. O-R-R-I-E.
Nope. Okay, got it. All right, very good. Tony, I know you do, so I think we'll just pass that one. KC2SAV, do you have an AWRL email address? I'm sorry, I said Tony. I meant Al. Sorry, Al.
It's Alan Haber, Jr. at AOL.com.
So, spelled Alpha Lima.
Alpha Lima, Alpha November, Hotel Alpha, Bravo Echo Romeo, Juliet Romeo, AOL.com.
Got it. Very good. Very good. Welcome aboard, Al. All right. Tom? W-A-2-C-A-I, K-2-B-A-R. Okay, N-2-I-C-L, K-2-B-A-R.
I guess the answer would be a no. My net, whatever you call it, would be a KROSTPJ at OptOnline.com.
Oscar Sierra Tango Papa Juliet at optonline.net?
Yes, sir.
Okay, message received. Thank you very much. Harvey, you have an email address at AWRL?
Yes, I sure do. My call at the league. And I welcome Charlie W-E-2-R. I haven't heard him on the radio in a dog face. KC2AWS.
Well, you know, nothing personal, Harvey, but Charlie has attended the last three net sessions of the TechNet. And alas, we have not heard you, so we're thrilled to have you join us on the air.
I have been sick. That's my excuse.
Well, I'm glad you're better, and whatever excuse works for you in the meantime, I'm fine with that too. Grin, grin. All right. Any other questions for the TechNet before we move on to other things? This is K2BAR. Okay, folks, remember, tomorrow your primary objective is at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or so to get to the Fairlawn Senior Citizen Center off of 11th Street, off of Fairlawn Avenue, and go for the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club auction. It should be a fun time. If you are planning to go to the Barra Dinner, it's a week from this Saturday, whatever that is, the 2nd, it's the December meeting. There is no other meeting on Sunday. It will be the December meeting a week from now, and on Saturday, and it will be at Bellagio's, and you need to get in touch with K2AMI or WB2AIU or perhaps W2ML, but I would suggest, I know Tony and Bob read their mail pretty religiously with respect to this dinner, so you can make arrangements to get the payment to them and make sure your party's all squared away. We'd love to see you at the Barra Dinner in a week. And I do believe there's a kid night next Tuesday at the Westwood High School in Washington Township around 7 o'clock. And what else? I think that's about it for now. So I want to thank everybody for a wonderful net. I'm just going to, before we secure them, just see if there's any other last comments people want to toss in. This is K2BAR. Any questions, comments, or confusions? Okay. Well, gentlemen, we owe our families, our fortunes, and our friendship, in many cases, to amateur radio. It's really been a wonderful thing. I mean, maybe I'm just getting old, gushy, and stuff like that so as I push 50. Still not 50 years old, Tony, if you're listening. But anyway, and Tony's coming back to me and say, I'm still not 80, Gordon. So anyway, the bottom line is that we've had a long, privileged career, and some of us in amateur radio, and many enjoyable opportunities have been in our past and will come to our future, I'm sure. The ability to serve others is something that's just amazing to me as well. So I'm looking forward to more of that, as I'm sure you all are as well. Take care. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. Go kiss your babies, your wives, your girlfriends, all of the above, whatever, and have a great night. This is K2BAR, returning the repeater to normal amateur use, and this is W2TTT, Gordon Sink 73. Good night, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.